to hear and receive from Tammy Bond. Some of you sat through her class on marriage, and we were greatly blessed. This is a woman that's full of good stuff, very seasoned, knows Jesus, loves Jesus, knows she's a broken vessel, but full of wisdom. So I've anticipated this day for a long time, and so I look forward to hearing what the Lord has put on her heart.
Yes. Okay. 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 And I had mercy on my priest and took off my high heel shoes so they could pray for me. Both of them. In honor of my sweet husband, I have to tell a joke because he said you have to start off every good speaking engagement with a joke. So what is wrong with the dyslexic atheist? They don't believe in dogs. That good? All right. He did. Like 30 seconds before I came over, he's like, you got a joke? I'm like, no, what's the one about the dyslexic atheist? And so he reminded me. I want to start off by saying thank you for letting me speak. There's some things that Carl had said. He said, what would you tell your daughter? And that was one of my desires even when I was pregnant and didn't know that I was going to have a daughter. I thought, oh, Lord, I want a daughter because there's so much I want to tell her. There's so much I want to share. And in my practice, part of the deal is I believe my call is blessing women into womanhood, is helping them get rid of, as Carl says, the clutter and get rid of the fear so that they may operate fully in their womanhood and in their beauty. And I'm using that term beauty more as a noun than I am as a verb. And so that's what this is going to be today. I hope to broaden your perspective on motherhood. I hope to broaden your perspective on Mother's Day as we go into this. From last week, I brought the beads, Miss Julia's beads that I don't know why God let me inherit, but he did. So I'm going to put on the beads today. And this great mother of our church, who never birthed children, but none of us would be remiss to think that she mothered us, all of us. Let me pray. Father God, I declare Jesus Christ as Lord of this time. I pray for understanding. I pray that our thinking would not be so linear and so common, that you would blow a fresh wind of wisdom and understanding, that we may be reconcilers and true reconcilers of God, of man to God, of man to Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to show a movie clip. You've all seen it, but I want to show it to kind of set the tone. So if you want to hit it.
Thank you. Déjame, anda.
All right, and if you'll put up the next thing. No, just a picture. You'll try. What a great way to start off, you know, looking at the Mother of God. And her saying, I'm here. I'm here. And I'm compelled by Mary. The first time I saw that, I just wept, because she could not run to him. She couldn't stop herself. Even if she tried, she ran to him at 4 years old and at 30 years old or 33 years old. She runs to him. And she walks out the passion with him. A lot of you know my little boy goes to Our Lady of the Valley, and they do the Stations of the Cross from the perspective of Mary, much like Mel Gibson's Passion. And one of the prayers in that is, and she stood by and wept silently. And she walked by and wept silently. There's always this kind of notion, she's there, she's silent, but she's present. So I want to explore, who is this woman? And who is woman as the created being, as the created being that's pulled from Adam's side, from his rib, and is created? What is the essential role of women? And if, do you have the picture? Should I keep talking or wait? Okay. Oh, okay. You're rebooting? Okay. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, after he created everything, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helpmate for him. So just for a minute, close your eyes, and I'm going to say this. It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. So my question is, who is going to break this aloneness? Gene Edwards, in his book, The Divine Romance, a really sweet book, some kind of compare him to C.S. Lewis because he has this poetic twist on things and he's real creative. And he writes this book, The Divine Romance, on creation and the crucifixion and the resurrection from the perspective of the angels. And it's really beautiful. And he insists that Adam also knew it was not good for him to be alone. He says that Adam was wandering the land, looking, desiring for other. And he paints this beautiful picture of this man just walking the earth, kind of longing and wandering and looking. And in the book, Adam is seen telling God, do whatever it takes. Do whatever you have to do to break this aloneness. Break it. So Adam is put to sleep, and from his side a rib is taken to form woman. After Eve is fashioned from Adam's side, the angels are moved, and this is Edward's beautiful words I'm going to read to you. So listen now to how the angels describe the woman. Never was nor shall be as beautiful a thing as she. All hosts in heaven's court, all creatures on earth sod. It matter not the tribe nor race, one sight alone be more beautiful than she. It is the face of God. Now, Edwards continues from Adam's perspective after Adam sees Eve for the first time, and he just loses it, you know, because she is so beautiful. Creator Lord, hear me. Angels, hear me. Creatures of deep upon the land, in the sky. I am one once more. Behold my counterpart, more beautiful, more glorious than all realms combined. At last, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and I, man, I am no longer alone. The aloneness is broken forever. I am not alone henceforth. Forever all things are good. Eve comes to us and she is beauty. She is like the face of God. And again, beauty being the noun, she is beauty. She's not beautiful, she is beauty. And if you can expand your thinking a little bit and kind of stretch the bounds that this is what beauty is. It's woman. We didn't have it until her. She is other and she is the helpmate by breaking into the aloneness. Her virtue of being the helpmate is that she breaks the aloneness. Now, we have in our linear thinking what helpmate might mean. It might mean like taking care of the kids while I prepare a sermon, or it might mean you do the grocery shopping or clean the house. But the essential attribute of the helpmate is that she breaks the aloneness. When we think about Eve, she was created in the context of relationship. Eve was never alone. I said that to my girlfriend the other day when I was writing this, and she goes, well, no wonder I want to be alone all the time. I'm never alone. I was never alone. But she was never alone. She was created in the context of relationship. She was never alone as Adam was. She was brought forth as the beautiful helpmate. Edwards says she was aware of her beauty, not in pride, but in strength. And I like to imagine that. You know, I work with a lot of women with eating disorders and a lot of women with insecurities. And could you imagine as a woman, just for a minute, if you could embrace your unique beauty, if you could calm down, if I could, if we could calm down and embrace our unique beauty because it's strength. And I think that was said somewhere earlier today in all the, but it is strength. And as we embrace our beauty, we are strong and we're confident. As the helpmate, she was relational and the first mother of mothers and the first reconciler to God. As a woman, she begins for creation the journey back to the fullness and oneness with God. She starts the deal. She starts the whole deal. We're moving back to God. And without her, we don't get there. Like Eve, I believe all women are instruments for God to receive his bride back, to receive his bride. Do you realize that Adam had a bride, really had a helpmate before God did? Edwards kind of plays with that notion here, and we could mess around with that theology, I'm sure, and I could get my toes stepped on. But he had a bride before God had his bride. It is woman's divine calling to function as the reconciler. Years ago, I was telling the women downstairs at muffin time, I was upset or angry, I don't know the right word, when we changed the name of the church. I thought, Church of the Reconciler? What does that mean? Somebody get up there and do a sermon about what does that mean? Because it made me mad that we just changed our name and now we don't really know what that means. And I'm, you know, I love my concordance and I love definitions. So for a month, I studied reconciliation. And of course, I shared it with my Wubba's group. And they're like, yeah, it's good. But really, reconcilers, women are one of the first reconcilers. Reconciliation is this term in the Strong's that means restoration to change mutually and compound a difference. Now, if I can walk through those doors with that name on the side, thinking this is a place where differences will be compounded and mutual change will be taking place and restoration will take place, I wear the name with pride and I say it with meaning. It's not a name we just changed so our mail doesn't go there across the street. We own it, right? In Genesis 3:18 is God's curse on Satan. We all know this. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He, Jesus, will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And we all remember that from the Passion, right? Jesus in the garden and the serpent, and he crushes the serpent. Here the scripture reveals Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the victor and reconciler of man to God. In addition, woman, and woman meaning Mary, and woman being woman, would bring forth the victor. Women bring forth the victor. Women bring forth reconciliation by the fact that we break into aloneness, by the fact that we're available for relationship. In this scripture, we get a glimpse of all women as a type of reconciler. We're bringing man back to God. She does it. Mary does it, right? And we all are, as reconcilers, we're all types of mothers. Eve is the first mother. Mary is the mother of God, the mother of creation. In our essence as women, we mother. We think of Julia mothering us and different women in the church, how they mother us. And I know I received and continue to receive a lot of mothering and reparenting as I avail myself to the unity in the body of Christ. Our particular beauty, when it is embraced, when we embrace our beauty, it enables us to relate, to heal, assure, rebuke, pray, affirm, cry out, fight, love, and most of all, break aloneness. As women, we war for relationships. We war for depth and authenticity and freedom. We war for our people to be reconciled and related back to God the Father. When we are spiritually awakened, living in the truth of our God, when we are spiritually awakened, living in the truth of our God, given beauty, we are compelled to deepen love and relating. So when I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm walking in His Word and I'm doing what Mama Gross says and I'm in unity with the body, there will be nothing but more. The desire for deeper oneness with my husband, deeper closeness with my girlfriends, deeper relating to my God. It keeps growing and growing and growing. And we want more. We never not want more. And maybe in some marriages that looks messy when the wife is saying, I want more. And he's saying, what? What do you want? I don't understand what that word means. I don't know what you're talking about. But there's more, because she knows in the ancient parts of her, in the deep places in her, there's more. It's in her. And if you're close to a woman, listen for that. Just turn your ear to that, because that's an ancient cry. That cry to relate, that cry to be reconciled. We war as women because we know it is essentially not good for man to be alone. We know it's not good for us to be alone. One of the biggest mistakes I made in my life, and I really put this as one of the biggest mistakes, is the night before my wedding, I didn't have one of my bridesmaids stay with me. And everybody was like, let me stay with you. Let me stay with you. No, no, I got this. I got this on my own. I'll be all right. I want to be alone. I need to be alone. I'm getting married tomorrow. I need to be alone. It was a train wreck of a night. My nerves were on edge. I couldn't sleep. I needed somebody to break the aloneness. We war by mothering creation. Like Eve, we break into aloneness. Like Mary, we break in, putting aside our pain and cost. We make ourselves available to walk the road of suffering with others. In the movie, how many have seen Steel Magnolias? I mean, I've seen it 7,000 times. I love that movie. And every time I watch it, another layer is revealed to me, especially as I age and become a mom or whatever. But that scene where Sally Fields is in the cemetery, right? And she and Dolly Parton and all the other women are there. And they're done with the service, and Sally Fields is walking away trying to fix her hair, and her friends are following behind her, and she loses it. She says, how am I supposed to do all this? I'm the one that's driving because my daughter is not strong enough, and I'm by her side. And when they unhook the machines, and I was there, and the men left, and I stayed, what is that? I don't understand. And all of her friends are standing there. Standing there in that suffering as she buries her daughter, standing there with great understanding, knowing that we go into these places. We go into these dark places. We go into these frightening places. And some people fear to tread those places. And I don't say this as a rebuke against men. I just say, maybe you weren't created this way. And maybe as you look towards your wife or look towards your mother or look towards your sister, your spirit will glean, go into those places where somebody needs you and is suffering and there's great loneliness and great aloneness. Break in. And she will be your role model to do that. She will be the deal. She'll show you the way. The enemy, however, assaults women. He attacks our unique beauty, damaging our security and call to be reconciler. He wounds and abuses, brings fear and insecurities in hopes that he might dampen our effectiveness as reconcilers. All hell is set against us to be reconcilers. We will doubt. We will question. We will leave this speaking engagement and drive home thinking, and it'll play on me. We're always battling it. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And this is our cry as women. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen to that inside of yourself as women, as mothers, and the term is synonymous. When you're a reconciler, you're a mom. I'm always reconciling Brad to God and Anna to God in my prayers and in how I relate to them, reconciling them to each other. The terms are the same. So in honor of this cry to be reconcilers, we war. And as David Wilcock says in one of my favorite songs, we fight all the reasons not to try, because there are so many reasons not to try. People are mean. They hurt us. It's risky. We'll be rejected. There's all these reasons not to try. And first, we fight for ourselves to embrace the beauty of our souls and our holy calling. We accept the charge to forgive and confess. We accept the charge that we're sinners and we need to heal old wounds and that we need deliverance from old belief systems and generational stuff that tags along with us. To be effective women, to be effective mothers, to be effective reconcilers, we need to be freed up. And he promises that in the Word. One of my favorite scriptures is in Romans, and I think it's 4:17, and it talks about that there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, not later, now. And we're on this journey to operate in that. And if my photo came up, it was this great photo of, and it happened quite by accident, and I think the timing is divine, but Anna's wearing all pink, has her little fluffy pink skirt on and a pink sweater, and her and I were washing cars and in the driveway, and she went in Brad's little plastic tub and found two swords and found this Superman cape. There it is. And there's my girl and her trusty steed, Kevin. It was wet from washing the car. Kevin loved to have you squirt the hose at him. But look at that. That's who we are. She did that all by herself and ran around that driveway. Not really even saying anything. But for me, it was, there's the picture. That's who I am. The Lord was playing a video back to me. And I don't say that in pride and arrogance. I say that as I receive the call. Whatever that looks like. And I bless her and all the young women to have that, to embrace that. So we put on our capes and take up our swords like Joan of Arc and Miss Julia and Esteli. I love her rebuke of Carl. I loved her rebukes. I mean, come on. Not being a Southerner, I loved her rebukes. They were timely. I mean, the time she yelled at me for not having shoes on my kid, you know, all right, I'll put shoes on. We need that voice. We need that truth. And Miss Rose and Don and I have talked about sometimes he says he thinks he can hear Miss Rose squeaky shoes walking. But what a force. When she walked in the door and I could hear her squeaky shoes and walker, somehow I exhaled. There was a force here. There was a protection here. Whenever I saw Miss Julia up there, I exhaled. There was a force here. There was a protection here. There was reconciliation here. So we take up our swords like Joan of Arc, Julia, Esteli, and Miss Rose, and we listen to God with our senses and spirit, decoding the spiritual call to war against temporal and eternal aloneness. We war. She warred. Start this church. War against eternal aloneness. We discern directions to mother all creations as reconcilers in whatever venue he plants us. We do this, and this is where the work comes. This is where the discerning comes. We do this by using our voice, learning to speak the truth in love, learning to give and receive love. We're so damaged. You know, we're all broken in this notion of to be able to give love and receive it. Can you receive it as well as give it? There's this beautiful freedom and this beautiful power that comes from that dynamic. And we learn to give and receive love in healthy ways. And each year we mature. I promise. We go from glory to glory. We go from strength to strength. We mature. I'm different. And I'm different because I come here, and I'm different because I sit in unity, and I'm different because I confess my sins to my friends, and I'm different because I don't want to stop. I can't not. And like Mary, I can't not go in. I can't not go in. Wherever that place is, whatever client it is that comes through my door, whatever, I can't not go in. So we learn to give and receive love in healthy ways, and each year we mature to become more effective in our essential calling as mothers and reconcilers of creation. Happy Mother's Day.